Well, good morning, beloved ones, once again. Turn to someone and tell them you have been created free. You have been created free. Mm-hmm. And you can respond, I am free to be me. I am free to be me as God created me to be. You know, some 242 years ago, just prior to becoming the United States of America, 13 colonies and their inhabitants were deeply engaged in resistance, rebellion, acts of civil disobedience, fighting for human rights, equality, fair treatment, no taxation without representation, religious freedom to be able to worship as they saw fit, and for independence from what could have then be seen as rule from an outside force, rule from without the borders of America. British rule from another nation coming into the borders of America and ruling. And they wanted something different. And so based on those ideas of resistance, rebellion, civil disobedience, equality, fairness, all of that, they came together and formed a declaration of independence, which read thusly, it says, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, and that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And just like when I hear the song America the Beautiful, and there's something in me that wells up because those ideals are so divine. And yes, we have not yet reached the pinnacle of those values and those ideals, but at least we used to try to move forward towards them, right? We would move towards them. And when I hear these words of this Declaration of Independence, I also want to cry because they ring so true for today's time. And yet we as a nation, we as a country are now veering so far off from our stated vision, from our declared vision that created this nation, that we might have to once again, right, pick up those same expressions of resistance, or what I like to call spiritual persistence, because what you resist persists. So rather, I use the word resistance because that's what the people are using, but it's really persistence. We've got to persist in bringing light, persist in bringing the truth, persist in doing good, being good, bringing good. So we might have to once again pick up some of these same expressions that our forefathers expressed 242 years ago, to fight for equality and justice, to practice active and civil disobedience, fighting for human rights, and yes, no taxation without representation. That too, especially for today, religious freedom, so that no one person who practices a particular form of religion would be denied, right? and to call forth and stand once again for righteous rule. That's what they wanted, 204, righteous rule, rules that would enable them to govern themselves, that would speak to these high values and high principles and high qualities. Righteous rule from within the framework of America. These are powerful times. And now I see that the very things that we fought for ourselves as a nation 240 years ago are now the very same things that some wish to deny to others. And I'm thinking, how did we get here? How is it that those of us 240 years later are now saying, no, you cannot have it. Freedom is not for you. It's not self-evident. I was at a when I was at that conference, I heard one gentleman, and again, he was an elderly gentleman at this point, and he was moving very slowly, and everybody at the conference was giving him lots of respect for the work that he's doing and has done, and he put forth a whole meme, and I'm not going to mention his name and his work and his theory, but it's kind of well known. But as they were going back and forth and arguing, he said, we don't have to respect everybody. And when I heard that, there was something in me that went, what? And I looked around and only one or two people caught it. And everybody was just trying to go, you know, give him the due. But I was like, what? That thinking, we do not have to respect everybody, is what's wrong with our country today. And so, you know, when I heard that, I was like, book. I wasn't too sure about you to begin with, but now I'm done. I'm through. But I'm going to respect you. And I'm going to respect your right. And I will also demand that you respect me and my right. So it was quite interesting, but this whole thing that it should be self-evident that we have been given certain rights by our Creator, that we are endowed by our Creator for unalienable rights, such as life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Right? So these are the things that every soul who comes into existence desires. Why? Because the Creator implanted it within the DNA structure of a living being, of a soul. If you are manifested here in the physical, you want life. We all want to experience life, to enjoy life, to have life, to live life. We all want to have a sense of liberty and freedom because the soul was created free. And we all want that right to pursue happiness because the desire for joy and peace and happiness, those qualities of being, has been placed in our DNA. It has nothing to do with how we look, our ethnicity, our religion, our culture. These are the things that cause us and make us to be spiritual beings and human beings having a spiritual experience. And it should be self-evident to everyone that to deny any of those to any person is to do a great injustice to the Creator. And so we have a work to do. There are other things. Those three things were named in the Declaration of Independence, but there are other things that are endowed by our Creator. The desire for health, wealth, spiritual connection to the divine, to life, right? Harmonious relationships. That has nothing to do with your outer exterior. Everybody wants to be healthy. Everybody wants to be blessed and prospered. Everybody wants to feel that they are in connection to the great source of all that is and to each other, to have harmonious relationships and deep connections. Everybody wants to feel that they're contributing something of value to the collective. We must give of our gifts and our stuff. That's everybody. It should be self-evident. And so here's what I know. That because these things, these ideals and these desires are so ingrained in our soul, in our consciousness, in our psyche, individually, but they also have been ingrained in the soul and psyche of this nation as we unfolded and come about, that to see them now discarded, minimalized, distorted, to the point of being insignificant for some and a divergent from our natural path and our ethos as a country, that is causing many people, many of us in the nation, to experience a great deal of stress, anxiety, inner discontentment, disillusionment. I don't know if I said that right, but you know what I mean. A sense of despair, weariness. There's a vibration that we're trying to keep it up, but people are succumbing. Some who don't have a good, strong inner foundation are succumbing to the weight of this limitation and negativity that is being displayed and expressed. Weary. But I'm saying that we cannot give up now because we have come for this. We have manifested in this consciousness for this purpose in this time. And we can't allow ourselves to become battle weary. Because sometimes you feel like, oh my gosh, I can't hear another thing on the news. I can't take another negative thing. And it's weighing on people. So we feel like we're in a battle. But guess what? The battle is not ours. That's what the scripture says. The battle is not ours. What if Joshua said, oh, I've got to do all this work? He said, I'm going to give you something. Just walk around and then shout. There's a way. I'm going to work this out. The battle is not yours. We are simply instruments through which God flows, through which the good flows, through which God will do God's work. We are part of the divine plan. Our task always is to find that still place within us so that we might see the salvation of the Lord. The scripture also says, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. That when we can make a connection in the stillness and connect to the divine, that God will then do the work and we will see the manifestation of good. I want you to listen to what God is telling the Israelites who were battle weary. And they were coming up against those who would destroy them and annihilate them. And they were always in constant battle of somebody was always trying to get to them and their way of being and living. And so at this time, Jehoshaphat is the king. And one of his messengers comes back to Jehoshaphat and he says, there's a great nation that is preparing to war against you. To come up against you, and they are great and mighty. And so Jehoshaphat, it says, became frightened. And not knowing what to do, he gathers all the Israelites and he begins to pray. And he prays a very powerful, I was going to read it, but I'm in the interest of time, I won't. But he prays a very powerful prayer, asking for God's guidance and God's direction and God's assistance because he feels that they are not able to match the army that's coming against them. And so while they're praying, God touches a messenger within the midst. And this is what the messenger says to Jehoshaphat and to all of the Israelites. And I'm reading from 2 Chronicles, and I think it is 2 Chronicles 2, verse 20, chapter 20, verses 15 through 17. And he said, this is what God gives this messenger to tell Jehoshaphat. He said, listen, all you people of Judah and Jerusalem. Listen, King Jehoshaphat. This is what the Lord says. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged by this mighty army, for the battle is not yours but God's. Tomorrow, march out against them, and you will find them coming up through the ascent of Ziz at the end of the valley that opens up into the wilderness of Jerul. But you will not even need to fight. Take your positions, then stand still and watch the Lord's victory. Afraid, it says, do not be afraid or discouraged. Go out against them tomorrow, for the Lord is with you. And then it says, it goes on to say that early that morning, Jehoshaphat gathers them and he said, all right, we're going to go out and meet this army, meet this challenge, meet this threat. Meet this which seems so mighty and seems to be bigger and larger than we are. We're going to go out and meet it because we were told that what? The Lord is with you. And that you might not even have to fight. And then it's so powerful because it goes on to say that Jehoshaphat was then guided, he says, to send some singers ahead of them. And they were singing. So to walk ahead of the army, singing to the Lord and praising him for his holy splendor. And this is what they were singing. Give thanks to the Lord, his faithfulness, love, his faithful love endures forever. So there's something about the sound, right? So these people were now told, Gerald, they were told to shout and to sing. And so the Lord tells them, go out. And Joseph, he says, let's go out and sing. So he sends these mighty singers. And it says in the scripture, at the very moment that they go out and they go out singing and praising and offering thanksgiving to God, it's the very moment that all of a sudden, the armies that were coming, there were three armies that were coming against them, that the Ammonites and the Moabs decided to fight each other. And then they decided to fight this army, what's it called? The army of Seir. And they destroyed the army of Seir. But once they destroyed the army of Seir, it says they start attacking each other. So much so that by the time Jehoshaphat and his army arrived, guess what? They were all dead. They had killed each other. This is what he said. You don't even have to fight. By the time you get there, it's going to be done. But they did have to do what? They had to be obedient. God said, go out and march against them. Do what you need to do, but the battle is not yours. But you must take your steps. You must act. You must move as I direct and guide you, but don't worry about the battle itself. I got all that in hand. It's going to work out. And so they go and they do. And then it says, when they get there, there's nothing left. So they had nothing to do but accept all it says, take the plunder. So they received all the goods and the blessings. And this is what I love. It says here that once they did that, and Jehoshaphat and his men went out to gather the plunder. They found vast amounts of equipment and clothing and other valuables, more than they could carry. There was so much plunder that it took them 3 days just to collect it all. And on the fourth day, they gathered in the Valley of Blessing, which got its name that day because the people praised and thanked the Lord there. And it is still called the Valley of Blessing today. We got a valley of blessings that are always ours when we understand how we move with right purpose and move with right consciousness and move as the Spirit tells us to move, and that we are guided from on high and directed from on high. We can't get weary. See, we get weary and we are filled with a sense of hopelessness and we become discouraged when we keep our eye on the outside, on the realm of appearances. Sometimes we're going to have to shut the news off and don't worry about all that and do our work. We have to be informed and aware, but not overcome to the point where we are discouraged. And we become battle weary, that we don't have strength to fight the good fight, the God fight, to do which is right and righteous. We have to be, as it says in Galatians 6:9, let us not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. So sometimes I feel, oh, Lord, but I have to, you know what? Don't get weary, Sylvia. If you're getting weary, it's because you're looking out here. You're succumbing to the sense of hopelessness. Uh-uh. Don't get weary in your well-doing. For we shall reap in due season if we faint not. And then in, of course, Isaiah 40:31, it says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, and they shall mount up with wings as eagles, and they shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and faint not. So it is time to renew our strength. From time to time, we have to take a deep breath and renew our strength, right? It's time for us to be able to mount up on eagle's wings, to run and to walk with purpose and conviction, and to faint not. I love the fact that this country chose, I think it's quite interesting, it chose the bald eagle as its system. Of a symbol for the nation. The bald eagle is a majestic bird of burden. It soars high above the fray, right? It soars with power and a sense of freedom. And it sees things from the highest point of view. An eagle can see something so small, a little thing moving within the bushes, but the eagle sees it from that highest perspective. And if we're going to mount up with wings as eagles and be renewed in our strength, we're going to have to do a few things. We're going to have to do, as it says in Isaiah, we're going to have to learn how to wait upon the Lord. They that wait upon the Lord shall do what? Mount up with wings as eagles. Now, this waiting upon the Lord is not a passive, idle expression. I'm not saying that we need to sit around the campfire and sing kumbaya. That's not the kind of waiting I'm speaking of, but it's not the kind of waiting that this scripture is talking about. This kind of waiting upon the Lord is waiting with a sense of readiness, waiting with a sense of faith and a positive expectation for good, for God to move. It's a waiting upon the Lord, waiting for that call of spirit. When we are waiting with this kind of waiting, it's an honoring, it's a trusting of the spirit, and a willingness to move when the Spirit says move. The Spirit told Joshua to move around. They moved around. Now shout praises. They shouted praises. It's waiting for the direction and the guidance of God to then take action. But the action we take will be inspired. The action we take will be God-directed and God-led. For the battle is not ours, it is what? God's. But we are the vehicles and the vessels and the instruments that God is using. And we must do everything to keep this vessel, to keep this consciousness clean and clear and ready to move. It's about flowing with the go. Flowing with the go. See, birds ride on the current of air. And yes, they have to flap their wings. They flap their wings, but they do so that they are then able to glide upon and through the air. They are ready to then glide upon the movement of the air, but it's the movement of the air, the current of the air that gives them their go, their flow. It is the wind beneath their wings, the air, the energy of spirit, of life, that causes them to either go with the flow, or as I like to say, flow with the go. And the wind between our wings, the wind beneath our wings, I should say, is God. And if we are going to rise above, to be able to rise above the fray, because this is some stuff out here, but we must rise above it. And if we're going to be able to do that, if we're going to be able to be strengthened in our spirit when we feel exhausted, if we're going to be able to see the larger picture when everything appears to be bleak and dark, then we're going to have to learn how to go within often. We're going to have to learn how to fill our soul with the very spirit of the living God that enables us to live and to move and to have our being in God. God is the wind beneath our wings. And the scripture says this when Jesus was talking to Nicodemus, and he told them that you must be born again or born anew. And you have to be born. Some scripture said, born from above. And Nicodemus says, how am I going to be born from above? And Jesus said, look, just like you don't know how the wind comes and it goes. That's like the spirit. It comes and it goes, but it all comes from above. You must be born anew, born from above, from a higher consciousness. So we can't see which way the wind is blowing, but we know that what? It is blowing from above. That means we must raise our consciousness and our vibration. We have to connect with spirit. And when we connect with the spirit, we are carried along the currents of spirit. We're carried along. We go with the flow and flow with the go. See, when we are connected, we're able to wait with the readiness. We're able to be strengthened and to renew our spirits, and we're able to then soar like eagles. Our old tagline on our scripture used to say, soaring on the wings of spirit. That's still true. Still true for us. But I love the way the Native Americans look at the eagle and its symbolism, and I think it's no mistake that the forefathers picked that bird as a symbol for our nation. And we need some eagle medicine at this point. So what happens is, you know, for the Native Americans, animals carry what they call certain medicine. Animals carry a spiritual energy. And they had great love for the earth, for every living thing. And they felt that the animals had an energy. So when an animal crossed your path, or when it flew overhead or whatever, when it appeared in your life, they said that that animal was bringing you its medicine. And that you should take heed and look and listen. And so I have this book. It's called Medicine Cards. And there are cards that you can pick that represent different animals. And there's a little reading about it. And I love the first animal that they describe in here is the eagle and the medicine that the eagle brings. And I believe, you know, at this time, this eagle, this message, this medicine is for us at this time. So I'm going to read what it says as we prepare to celebrate July 4th, Independence Day. This is the message, the medicine that spirit is bringing to us, the power of the eagle, the power of our symbol for this nation. And it says, eagle medicine is the power of the great spirit, the connection to the divine. It is the ability to live in the realm of spirit and yet remain connected and balanced within the realm of the earth. So we're going to have our feet planted firmly on the ground, but our head, our spirit, and our heart, we're in the realm of spirit, so that we can maneuver between the two. That's a call for us. It says, eagle soars and is quick to observe expansiveness within the overall pattern of life. Meaning, we have to get up high so that we can see that everything is in divine order. That this is a great unfolding and an awakening of people on the planet. This is a divine design. Don't be discouraged. This is a great time that we are a part of. And so we have to be able to quickly see the expansiveness within the overall pattern of life. From the heights of the clouds, eagle is close to the heavens where the great spirit dwells. We've got to get close to the heavens where the great spirit dwells. The feathers of an eagle are considered to be the most sacred of healing tools. They have been used for centuries by shamans to cleanse the auras of patients coming to them from healing. Feathers. I looked up the scripture that said this morning that there would be great, from the righteous one, that there would be great healing upon his wings. There's healing in the wings of spirit. Within the belief of Native American tribes, eagle represents a state of grace achieved through hard work, understanding, and a completion of the tests of initiation, which result in the taking of one's personal power. Now, I want to read that again because I want you to know this is just an initiation. This is just a little test to see if we have the power within ourselves to stand up and take our rightful place as children of the Most High to do a mighty work. We can't faint at the least sign, the first sign of something looks like it's terrible. So what? I don't care what they're bringing. We are bringing something greater. We are. So, and it says eager represents a state of grace. There's grace, but that grace comes through hard work. Yes, we're going to work hard. Yes, we have to do our part. And yes, this might feel like an initiation with a bunch of tests, but it's going to show us whether or not we believe what we believe. Are you willing to stand on what you believe? Are you going to demonstrate the truth in your life or you're not? Are you going to fall apart or are you going to stand firm so that you can soar high? That's the test. So it says it's only through trial, the trial of experiencing the lows in life as well as the highs, and through the trial of trusting one's connection to the Great Spirit that the right to use the essence of eagle medicine is earned. We earn in our right to use eagle medicine, right? If you pull this symbol, meaning if you pulled the eagle card, eagle is reminding you to take heart and gather your courage. For the universe is presenting you with an opportunity to soar above the mundane levels of your life. The power of recognizing this opportunity may come in the form of a spiritual test. In being astute, you may recognize the places within your soul, personality, emotions, or psyche that need bolstering or refinement. By looking at the overall tapestry, eagle teaches you to broaden your sense of self beyond the horizon of what is presently visible. What's showing up in your life? What needs to be bolstered? What needs to be refined? What do you need to lift up? Where do you need to soar above? What is holding you down? Let it go so that you can rise above. This is an eagle medicine. In learning to fiercely attack your personal fear of the unknown, the wings of your soul will be supported by the ever-present breezes, which are the breath of the Great Spirit. And thank God, God always gives us breezes. When we think we can't bear enough, there's grace. When we think we've had enough, he shows another way. He blesses us. Feed your body. More importantly, feed your soul within the realm of Mother Earth and Father Sky. The dance that leads to flight involves conquering of fear and the willingness to join in the adventure that you are co-creating with the divine. If you want to take flight, you must recognize we are co-creating with God, and we must conquer our fears of whatever they are. If eagle has majestically soared into your cards, you are being put on notice to reconnect with the element of air. Air is the mental plane, and in this instance, it is of the higher mind. Wisdom comes in many strange and curious forms, and it is always related to the creative force of the Great Spirit. If you have been walking in the shadows of former realities, eagle brings illumination. See, part of the despair that we might be feeling is that we are walking in the shadows of former realities. We're walking how we thought the nation was in the past, and we are grieving that. But at some point, we have to let that go and recognize a new republic is being birthed. A new order is coming forth. Right? And we're standing at the birth of something new. The old is passing away. But behold, the new has come. So this is a good thing. Eagle teaches you to look higher and to touch Grandfather Sun with your heart and to love the shadow as well as the light. See the beauty in both, and you will take flight like the eagle. So we'll take the good from the old, but we're going to also celebrate the new that we are creating. Eagle medicine is the gift that we give ourselves to remind us of the freedom of the skies. Eagle asks you to give yourself permission to legalize freedom and to follow the joy of your heart's desires. And then they go on to express eagle in the contrary. So when you pull a card, if it's reversed, if the eagle's upside down, it's called contrary. And this is what they say. If you have pulled eagle in the reverse, you have forgotten your power and connectedness to the Great Spirit. You may have failed to recognize the light that is always available for those who seek illumination. Heal your broken wings with love. Loving yourself as you are loved by the Great Spirit is the lesson which the contrary ego brings. On some level, ego is telling you to seek higher ground on which to build your nest. The nest is the home of the heart and cannot remain in a swamp. I thought that was so funny because I said, ooh, they thought they were cleaning up the swamp when they were the swamp. But the nest is the home of the heart, and it cannot remain in a swamp. If your nest is in a swamp, this may be connected to your belief that your wings are clipped by an impossibility in your present status. We're going to have to change our perspective. This is not a hopeless situation. This is not the end. It's simply something they are doing. But this too shall what? Pass. Eagle's nest. Yes, I hear you on that one. Eagle's nest is high in the mountain where the air is clean and the movement free. It may be your time for a vision quest so that you can commune with the Great Spirit. Fasting and praying will surely bring an answer. Seek lofty ideals, and illumination will be close at hand. We need some eagle medicine. Eagle medicine. And Spirit wanted me to bring this message today because every now and then we have to reconnect to our vision and the purpose for which we are here, and to be able to come into spiritual community. See, when we come together, there's a collective energy that we are building so that we can support one another, love one another, so that when I'm feeling down, you pick me up. When you're feeling down, I pick you up. Because we're all going to be in the flow, right? But when we're in the flow together, we can go. We can take flight. We can soar on eagle's wings. We can run and not be weary. We can walk and faint not. We can be renewed in spirit and heart and mind. This church should be filled with light bearers and people wanting to help with this divine work. But you're here, and you are being called, right, to build your nest high, to build your consciousness high, because there are so many souls that are seeking your presence, seeking your light, seeking your vibration. So wherever you are, as you stand firm, also, lift up your vision. Lift up the purpose for which God has called all of us to be, to soar on eagle's wings. Blessings and namaste. Namaste. Namaste.